Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise.
Wake up.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the butcher boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Halfway home here on a Friday, non-payday Friday, but it's a Friday nonetheless. Spadoni, Shasky, we're rolling. We got Bonte Hill joining us in about an hour in studio. Can't wait for that. We'll talk all things Giants, Niners. Is there a Kuminga crisis going on still? Is that? Sure. Can I hear you? Are you on air? Can you speak, Joe?
No, you can't.
Oh,
now I can.
Now we can.
Can I ask you guys a question?
There you go.
Do you put product in your hair every day?
Yes.
What are you using?
I use like a, what is it? Not a pomade, because that's a little more shiny, but like a paste, a hair paste.
Okay.
Yeah, it's medium shine, medium hold. How
okay.
About that?
No, yeah. It looks good. What about the boss? Boss, are you using mousse or gel on that flat
He's
top?
He's using pomade, right? Using pomade,
What do you
coach?
Use every day?
He uses pomade.
Pomade?
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you shower every day or do you lay down on the pillow with the gel and that?
He showers every day. Look at that.
No,
thing.
At night. And before bed. I'm just asking.
No, he showers in the morning. Look at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. Why?
God, that pillow must be nasty.
What? There's pillowcases, Joe, for that.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
Yeah, you don't wash the pillow. You take the case off and then you wash that. Unless you have a MyPillow, which is 100% machine washable.
When I use mousse or gel and I fall asleep on the pillow, I have to wash all the sheets and everything. Just because I don't like, you know, whatever's on the hair laying on the pillow. It's just a weird thing, you know, I brought up.
I wash the sheets for other reasons. By the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube.
Supposed
brought to,
do it once
to you
a
by
week.
First NorCal Credit Union. Really?
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's 2 weeks. Right? Like, for
really?
Bed sheets?
Yeah, I do them once a week. We have multiple sets, and we have multiple summertime sets and then wintertime sets. The flannel.
Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. So we were talking about something before we were getting to bed sheets and bedtime stories with Joe Shasky.
High thread count. Very important.
Thank you. What were you? So you were just getting to... That was
well,
it.
You were playing with your hair, and then I was looking at the boss, and like he had like touched the top of his head.
It's just
and
check.
I was like, look at you two with the product.
My hair is just
forget Ceremony Ford. We need to get ourselves like, you know, LA gel or whatever it was called, the old hair gel.
Oh, from like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
The spiky the hair,
blue
and the mohawks. Yeah.
Yeah,
the blue one. Yeah,
the see through bottle.
High hold. Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's what Sam uses. Actually, he uses zero product, right, Sam? Yeah, there you go, because it's just naturally beautiful. Speaking of hair, Trey Lance. There's no, I'm kidding, because my hair's fading away too. I think his hairline's better now, actually. There's like maybe it's getting it's improved. Maybe he went
Dr.
to Turkey.
Dr. Rosinelli?
Maybe he went to Turkey. But we're talking about development wise, right? Because we're seeing Trey Lance tomorrow. Stay with me here. Trey Lance, he's coming back to town.
Joe.
What?
I got 1 hour until Bonte comes in. And then another hour until I'm gone for a week
and
a half.
No, I need you to stay with me. Don't.
No,
you have to say
mentally,
this,
I'm already
stop,
there.
Stop. Don't.
I'm at Chick-fil-A in Petaluma right now in my head.
You can't say that. You have to have theater of the mind, right? You can't tell the audience that you've checked out, Joe. You're my teammate here, okay? Stay with me
for two more hours. Anthony Richardson, I'm checking out mid-play.
That was. I can't defend that. But it hurts my argument where I want to defend him in the totality of everything.
Here's what I hear from people all the time when it comes to these quarterbacks, whether it's Trey Lance, Anthony Richardson. If these guys aren't ready to play, then they should stick around in college for a few more years. They should not get drafted and be expected to contribute right away. Here's the problem with that. It's a double-edged sword. Number one, you can't stay in college forever.
Nope. Well, there are guys that are like in their 10th season or something, but continue. It's insane.
But number two, like,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All these guys are going to get drafted really, really high, and they want to make money, so they're going to jump at it. And now with the NIL and stuff, guys can make some money in college. There's different levels to it. But, like, Cam Ward has been to three different schools, right? He's the number one pick. He's playing for the Titans right now. Like, he needs NFL experience now, and he's taking a ton of snaps. But when you draft someone with so little experience, to me, it's not sit and watch. It's, no, I need to be committed to playing you through the ups and downs for at minimum two seasons, uninterrupted. Now, Anthony Richardson got hurt in year one, and I think that really ruined his development.
That hurt a lot. It was similar to Trey Lance getting hurt, too.
And I think the worst thing that could have happened was Gardner Minshew tantalizing the Colts that year into thinking that they were better than they were. I mean, correct. That's an awful division, and you were thinking you were a playoff team.
And it ended up winning it by a rookie, C.J. Stroud. He was incredible with the Houston Texans. DeMeco Ryans, his first year as rookie head coach there. But I'm glad you brought this up, because just what frustrates me, just as a fan, I'm not a fan of the Colts. Like, I don't care about the Indianapolis Colts. I don't care about the Cleveland Browns. But when you all tell me, and when I'm watching, you know, the Mel Kuypers of the world, the Daniel Jeremiahs of the world, we all are in agreement that this is going to be a project, and if you let this guy develop, maybe, just maybe, you could have something here. And when the Colts tell us it's going to be a process, and when the Cleveland Browns are going to tell us it's a process, and then you go out there and you pivot to Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco. This isn't 28-year-old Joe Flacco. 40-year-old Joe freaking Flacco. And I'm supposed to respect that? Are you kidding me? You pivot from Anthony Richardson seasons last year to Joe Flacco to what? For what? You're going to go out there with Joe Flacco and the Colts, and you guys are going to compete with Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow? Seriously? Stop it. It's insulting to my intelligence just as a fan of football to go out there and do something like that. So when I see what the Cleveland Browns are doing right now, and they have Joe Flacco being slated to be the guy week one, whoever the hell they're going to play. I don't care. Just slide it in right, chalk it in right now. The Browns aren't doing jack bleep this year. And you have investments in Dylan Gabriel, a rookie. And you have investments in Shedeur Sanders, a rookie. But you're going with Joe Flacco. I'm sorry. It's insulting my intelligence. At least with the Niners, they pivoted to a young player in Brock Purdy that had promise, right? They had promise. And I understood why Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch drafted Trey Lance in the first place. Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't stay healthy. And quite frankly, he drove the head coach nuts at some point too. But he couldn't stay healthy. And that was the ultimate overarching theme of Jimmy Garoppolo. He got us there. You know what? Should we have gone after Tom Brady the season after getting to the Super Bowl? Yeah, probably. But you know what? They didn't.
I actually think the more and more that time separates me from it, just the way it sits on me. This is just between you and me.
Yes.
I believe that the Niners, and specifically Kyle, this is just my belief. You could disagree, whatever. I think he was so angry that he missed out on Brady.
Yeah.
And that he thought Brady was done and Brady won it all. And the way the 2020 season went with Jimmy, where he was like, are you hurt? Are you not hurt? Are you coming back? Are you not, with the high ankle sprain? I think the totality of losing the Super Bowl, not taking Brady, Brady winning it all, and the Jimmy saga of that entire year made him so angry at Jimmy, which I get. Like, so he was furious. I have to move off him, and traded three picks to move up. I do believe also, I think they were going to go after Deshaun Watson. And I think the Deshaun Watson thing, they were gearing up to be able to make a trade with the Houston Texans to go get Deshaun Watson. And then the whole Deshaun Watson thing ended up totally crazy. Remember on draft night, before they got Trey Lance, they dangled the number three overall pick to the Green Bay Packers for Aaron Rodgers. And him and LaFleur were going.
LaFleur was pissed.
Yeah. I think the more and more I think about the Trey Lance thing, I think Trey was a victim of them doing anything they could possibly do to just move off Jimmy.
I mean, who failed who, right? It's usually a combination of both. The player just couldn't stay healthy for the most part. And I think the Niners wanted Trey to be that guy to take over. But again, you ask fans this, and they'll say, well, Kyle Shanahan did put him in a position to succeed. You're doing, you know, quarterback gun runs up the middle. What are you doing? This guy's, you need to let him air it out, air it loose. And by the way, I was actually kind of shocked and surprised with the athleticism of Trey. Like, I thought he was going to be kind of a dual threat guy. And I do think, like, the perception of Trey coming out of college to what we ended up seeing, it was all over the place.
Yeah, but if you watched his time, like again, if you watched him, he was an under-center quarterback. He wasn't a shotgun Lamar Jackson-style quarterback.
But I do think how the pistol. Mel Kipers, the Todd McShays, the Daniel Jeremiahs kind of force-fed us going through that process, Joe. They told us, they said he was an elite athlete.
Okay.
So when you say elite athlete, my brain goes to, especially in football, is, oh, quarterback, elite athlete, he could run. He could run a little bit. But then I saw like Brock Purdy felt like he was faster at times than Trey Lance, which is insane.
One thing just watching him scramble, I mean, was Kaepernick an elite athlete in terms of running?
I thought he was a gazelle out there when you get him in space.
I would agree. Yes. I think Brock is way quicker first to five steps, and then after five steps, Kaepernick's way faster.
Sure.
So there's a difference between like short area quickness.
Shifty versus like legit straight line speed. I think
Trey is actually faster in long distance, but not in the short area. Brock blows him away. Like he's just way twitchier. Twitchier is the way
like Cam Newton when he got him out there.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But even Cam had really good ankles. Like he had more wiggle. The thing with Trey, and I think that the biggest mistake that they made was, number one, Jimmy was hurt and they couldn't release Jimmy. They couldn't trade Jimmy. Mm. Not starting him from the beginning. You know, going back to your Anthony Richardson, they were trying to play Anthony Richardson. He got hurt in that first game.
He did.
The very first game.
The second game. Well, he got popped the first one, and then I think that he got like lasted one more after that and he was done.
So
Trevor Lawrence, literally, I think it was the first game of the Jazz, he's like, dude, you got to protect yourself.
I mean,
and he didn't.
So yeah. I think they tried to play him from the jump. And then I really truly believe that Gardner Minshew being as good as he was in that team gave them this false belief that they were better than they were. When it was really like, dude, you went 9-8. Like, yeah, you had a fun team and everything, but like, come on, that wasn't going anywhere.
You know, I think the Colts, as we're talking right now about development when it comes to project quarterbacks, and as Trey Lance returns tomorrow with the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, there's a lot of storylines, there's a lot of old wounds being opened up right now when it comes to how things went down with Trey Lance. And 888-957-9570 is the number to get involved.
Like, the year that the Niners didn't start Trey right away, like, they had Jimmy on the roster. They stuck with him. Remember, Jimmy got off to a slow start. There was this big comeback against the Eagles and the Bears that year. There were some ugly, ugly moments. And the team, you know, just they didn't fire on all cylinders till Debo switched to that dual threat, you know, running back style position. And then they really went on like a run. And Jimmy was like really injured that entire year. I mean, he just was. He had the shoulder, and, you know, he obviously missed the game down the stretch against the Houston Texans that Trey ended up playing in. Like, I think their biggest mistake with Trey was just not, like, again, being committed to the process. You took a guy who was raw. He needed a bunch of snaps. You should have played him through it. Mm. And then, I mean, you probably should have not picked the guy to begin with. But, you know, hanging on with Jimmy and trying to do both, like a two-timeline kind of a thing, ended up not working. Like, everyone goes, well, Aaron Rodgers said. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers played for two full seasons for Cal.
Yeah.
You know, like, and he played at Butte. Yeah. You know, he got a lot of years. He was a more seasoned player. Trey was the youngest player in the NFL.
And Aaron played in a conference that was, like, legit. He played against the big boys, the USCs of the world, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers was way more seasoned. And he got to learn, again, as you mentioned, Joe, not from Jimmy Garoppolo, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and Brett Favre. Like, there is something to be said about that. Now, Brett, he wasn't trying to, like, hold his hand and help him out or anything like that, because Aaron Rodgers was drafted to take his job.
Yeah.
Kind of like, and it was funny how it worked out, you know, when Jordan Love was drafted there. And Jordan Love, you know, he played at, what was it, Utah State? Like,
and
like,
even Jordan Love needs more reps.
Yes.
I don't know what to make of Jordan Love. I'm tantalized by him, but he also is kind of, like, all over the place.
Exactly. And, you know, he, you know, had that awesome playoff run. They destroyed the Cowboys. They came up short against the Niners, and everyone was like, wow, okay. And it worked out, because it was timing is everything, mm-hmm. right, in life. And timing, it was perfect for Jordan Love there. They rewarded him. And now let's see going forward, because I still have question marks. And again, a wide open NFC, which is why I'm not bearing the Niners like a lot of people are doing. It's wide open right now. And, you know, I'm very curious to see what goes on with some of these young quarterbacks and their development going forward.
So let's now pivot. So you did the Indianapolis Colts, Anthony Richardson. I just think injuries and him not being good enough, and then Shane Steichen worrying about his job, these are the reasons why they're going with
Danny Dimes. I just got pissed that they pivoted so damn quickly to Joe Flacco when, what's the point?
You're talking about Cleveland.
Sorry, last year. No, well, Joe Flacco was the guy that took over last year on the Colts.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry. But no, there's, this is why it's funny. Because, like, what are we doing here, Cleveland and Indianapolis, pivoting to a guy that's literally, you're both in the AFC. What are we doing?
Well, we don't think you have a chance.
No. You're trying to compete with who in the AFC?
Yeah, the top dogs, and you're not going to do it.
You're not doing it with that guy. I would rather take the risk of a Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, Anthony Richardson, and take my lumps with those guys, knowing I'm not winning the Super Bowl these next 2 years anyways.
Well, it's absurd that Kenny Pickett is on that depth chart.
Like,
it's absurd.
I make the playoffs. I'm Kevin Stefanski a couple years ago with the Cleveland Browns, and Joe Flacco did it. Yay! Got popped against the Houston Texans, and CJ Stroud is a rookie.
But does Stefanski, to me, I feel like he's, like, you know, he's kind of got equity built up where we know he's a good coach, but his quarterback situation was out of his control. The Deshaun Watson thing is out of his control.
I mean, they should have kept Baker Mayfield. Let's just call it what it is. Vinny's in the city, wants to join in the conversation,
I agree,
Joe.
But you know what? I also think Baker needed to go through that crucible to be where he is now, because he's a different person where he is now.
He is.
I agree. It's easy to say they should have kept him, but I think that he also needed to go through those, that, like, almost like Trey right now. Like, I think Trey needed to go through that seasoning, that I don't want to use the word humbling, but, like, they're very different. But I do believe some athletes need to go through the negative to be able to feel it. Steve Young referenced this.
Like, I just feel
he wouldn't have been the player that he was with the Niners had he not gone through what he went through with Tampa Bay.
It's a great point.
He was the number one overall pick.
Who are the Cleveland Browns to say we are the bastion of quarterback excellence? Point. Let's give Deshaun Watson $200+ million guaranteed, knowing all the crap that was built into that, the massage Watson situation. We're going to pivot off our guy, Baker Mayfield, who won playoff games for us, who did things for us. We invested a first round pick in him, and then we're going to move off of him for a guy that's a piece of you-know-what. Vinny's in the city, wants to join Vinny. The conversation. What's up, Vin?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just to touch on this topic, I mean, I think it's definitely an organizational thing, and they need to have realistic expectations of their season. It is a catch-22, though, because you cannot pass up on promising talent. So I understand why you would draft a guy like Anthony Richardson, because that's who you guys are talking about. He has the potential to be like a really, really great quarterback. But then if you think as an organization your team has a chance of winning, you got to put your team in position to win now. It's just like when the Warriors tried this whole thing with Wiseman. It's any franchise who's tried to run this two timeline. We've seen it time and time again that it doesn't really work. It depends on your team, your roster, and what your expectations are of the team.
I buy it with Steph Curry. I don't think I buy it when I look at Cleveland's roster. Even though they have Myles Garrett, they just feel like the 13th best team in the AFC.
And that's why I want to stay on tight, Vinny. That's what I'm saying. When you said, when you think you could win what is what I'm going to ask. Because the difference between me being a fringe playoff team, you know, and me being, you know, 2-14 or 2-15, it's like, well, who cares? Like, if I'm developing the quarterback and developing the quarterback, that's the win for me. I'm viewing it, if I'm investing in Anthony Richardson or I'm investing in a Trey Lance, right?
Well, let's go to the Bears.
A win for me that season is Trey Lance improving from start to finish.
If I told Bears fans today, and look, I'm sure the opinions will be a lot all over the place, but if I told Bears fans today, Caleb shows that he's awesome, but you only win 8 games this year and you miss out on the playoffs, wouldn't they all be like, oh yeah, sign me up for that? Because that means the next 7 to 8 years are going to be amazing, right?
Yes.
Right?
Like that, yes. A 9-8, 8-9, 7-10 season, but Caleb looks legit and he cuts, yes.
Yeah, okay, New York Giants fans, they have Russell Wilson right now ahead of Jackson Dart. You could play Russell Wilson and win 8 games, or you could play Jackson Dart and he shows tremendous promise and you feel good and you only win 4. What would they sign up for?
You're playing Jackson Dart and you're feeling better about the future, right?
Well, I think it's easy for us to say that, but it's difficult for Brian Daboll.
Brian Daboll,
that's
for sure.
That's where I'm going.
But I think
you can make an argument if Jackson Dart has unbelievable success with Brian Daboll and he likes Brian Daboll, why would you get rid of Brian Daboll if the young quarterback that he picked is showing promise?
It was low-key a savvy move from, I don't know if it was Daboll or Joe Shane, whoever it was with the New York Giants, but it's like, does that reset the timeline with those two going with the young guy? Hey, we showed promise. There's development here to the ownership, right?
So if I'm a fan in the stands and it's week one, I don't even know who does Cleveland play week one. Maybe they're on the road. But let's say I'm a Browns fan and I happen to be at the game and Joe Flacco and the Browns are down.
They're taking on their division rival Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, let's say they're down 21-0 at halftime.
Of Ohio.
21-0 at halftime, hypothetically, okay? I'm in the stands. You know what I'm saying? Really? We're going to do this for another 8, 9, 10 weeks with Flacco? I want to see Dylan Gabriel or Shador. That's what I would be saying as a fan. Would you not?
Yes.
Because I remember how I felt when Alex, who was not ready, we started off like 1-10 or whatever, 1-11, and it was like, why are we playing Ken Dorsey? Why are we playing Tim Rattay? What are we doing? Let's play Alex Smith.
It's kind of like how you're feeling right now with the Giants season going the way it is. Why aren't we playing Bryce Eldridge? Like, why aren't we doing that? Again, it's a cross-sport thing. As we're talking about Jonathan Kuminga right now being the hot topic that he is, the Kuminga crisis, and why we're so frustrated as fans and why fans themselves are frustrated and they call in every single day talking about Jonathan Kuminga, it's because of the development. Like, and who's it on? Is it the player himself? Is it the management? And as always, it's nuanced and it's gray area, but we don't want to talk about it that way.
When you take a guy who needs reps and development, you need to be committed to the ups and downs to see through the commitment that you've made in the draft selection.
That's why I almost 1,000% when it comes to projects and player selection, I side with the players.
So let me ask you this question.
Because it's up to the organization to build up said player and put them in positions to succeed. And that's why I appreciate when Kyle Shanahan told everyone after he traded Trey Lance and said, I failed Trey.
I worked for a couple of different food service businesses over the years, and their number one expense outside of payroll was training, as in developing people who were new hires. Smart. At any single level to be able to join their company. And they had an entire budget set up to cultivate development. That's how corporations work. And their theory was this: if we train you properly, you're more likely to be successful, which means you're more likely to help our bottom line. And it's a very interesting way of looking at it. And I look at some of the teams that are great at it. We referenced the Milwaukee Brewers in baseball. Development is a vital piece to their strategy, correct?
Huge. Yes. Look at massive.
Who do you think is good in football right now? Kansas City?
Kansas City? Just go to the best. The Eagles.
Okay.
Like they develop. They find talent and develop it very well.
Exactly.
So basketball, Miami Heat. Yes. Eric Spoelstra.
In Oklahoma City.
Yes. Perfect. Yeah, except the two champions right now.
The best team in the game.
Right now. Brian in Palo Alto is going to join in the conversation. Hey, Brian, hang tight. I want you to be able to finish your thought in not 30 seconds or 60 seconds. BPA will get to you. 888-957.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. 888-957-9570 is the number. Trey Lance and the Chargers taking on the Niners tomorrow. And how are we feeling about Trey coming back to the Bay, Niner fans? We're not rooting for him, but if he scores a touchdown, leads the team down the field, you can be cheering for Trey. 888-957-9570. We got Bonte Hill joining us in studio in about 30 minutes, courtesy of River Islands. And it's all going to be brought to you by Cache Creek Casino Resort.
I'm not optimistic.
This is a certified hood classic. Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Now, back to the morning roast.
Hey, Dunleavy, get on the phone, start making calls. Dude, why are you sitting at the desk twiddling your thumbs, bro?
With Joe Spadoni.
Stop playing with the pencils and playing tic-tac-toe with yourself. Get out there and make some moves, man. Make it happen. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
And Joe Shasky.
Giants, Niners, this little crack.
On 95.7 The Game.
What matters more? The wins or the development? And I don't want the smart-ass response. Oh, it's both, of course. Yeah, great. I know that. Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But the Cleveland Browns are trying to tell me that 40-year-old Joe Flacco is better than two rookies? For what? For who?
Yeah, sure.
So I can win two more games in a stacked AFC. You know, I'm going to Daniel Jones over a guy I invested a top five pick in. If I'm the Indianapolis Colts and Anthony Richardson, if you guys don't know who Anthony Richardson is, obviously he was a major project coming out of Florida. Right now he would be labeled a bust probably. He was a major project quarterback coming out of Florida, but the size, the arm, the body, everything, the physical skill set of an Anthony Richardson enabled him to be drafted in the top five. But he was a project. He showed you in college he wasn't a great thrower of the football. But he tantalized you with the athleticism and that maybe, just maybe, the right head coach or quarterback coach could get to the guy and turn him into something so great.
But what about the side of, like, and if you're Cleveland, hypothetically, in this scenario where you're playing Joe Flacco.
Yes.
What's the point of paying Myles Garrett all that money if you're going to tell him, hey, we're not competing this year with a bunch of rookies? Like, that's the flip side of the argument. I don't think you're competing with Flacco necessarily. I think that there's a ceiling on that. But, like, what is your sell to those types of guys?
I don't know. Is that a cop-out? Like, I legit don't know what you're selling to a Myles Garrett, or in this case, like a Max Crosby. At least you bring in Geno Smith and you're pairing him up with Pete Carroll. But even then,
it's more,
like,
functional than what you did last year.
Sure, but those are two edge rushers that got paid this offseason that are saying, I'm in a division, both of those, quite frankly. I'm in a division where I have to rush the passers of the likes of Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert, or and now a Bo Nix and an Aaron Rodgers. Like, and we're rolling out there with those guys, and I think Geno Smith is a better quarterback right now than a Joe Flacco, but you get what I'm saying.
No, I do. But
I don't know how you sell it. I don't.
I also think that, to me, that lacks context of, do you not think that Myles Garrett knew what he signed up for?
I just think he wanted the money. Like quite frankly,
I think these guys want the money and they want to win. I think you're underrated. Like, I'm not saying that he doesn't want the money first. That's not what I'm saying.
I do think there is a cachet of Max Crosby and Myles Garrett both being the faces for their franchises. I do believe both those guys are probably the faces of the franchise.
I'll buy that.
You think of those teams, you think of those players first.
But I don't necessarily like, Oh my gosh, like you owe it to them. Guys know what they signed up for.
Yes.
To a degree.
I think we're in agreement on this. That's where you're going. Yes.
I do feel like the loyalty aspect, like, for example, like, I remember how, like, frustrated I was for Frank Gore and Staley and Willis as a fan. Those guys deserve to win. I get that. I really do. I get that. Like, we got to win one. Like, we got to be good for the final couple years of Bryant Young. Like, I remember what that guy meant to me and as a fan. And so, like, I get torn in these circumstances when we talk about, like, trying to compete and what do you owe the locker room. So, like, for example, with Trey Lance, I truly believe that a lot of the guys on the team were like, yeah, this is going to be a tough year. Like, in terms of that year he was going to start.
Yeah.
And remember, after he got hurt, you know, some of the guys are like, oh, now we're back to 49er football.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, it is. But I also can understand from their point of view of like, Jimmy was better at that point in his career and gave them a better chance to win that year than Trey Lance did. Now, maybe by the end of the year, we were having a different discussion. I don't know. Like, it's taken a couple years for Trey to even become somewhat serviceable at this point. So maybe this is all a moot point. But like, I guess what I'm saying is I can see both sides of this argument.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about player development in sports right now, and obviously the quarterback position is the most unique. We haven't found the right formula yet. We just haven't. When it comes to the quarterback position, we still fail constantly. I say we just as a community when it comes to breaking down the quarterback position. We fail time in and time out with this stuff. And it's not an exact science in the NBA either, with Jonathan Kuminga and drafting a guy like that, a James Wiseman, going back to that.
Look at Bryce Young.
Yes.
If you watched college, you were like, wow, Bryce is incredible. I mean, they did not have the normal Alabama talent, which is an insane sentence.
Well, they're always stacked, yeah.
No, but like they didn't. They did not have the normal, like, elite, we're better than everyone, and our second stringers are better than everyone. He got peppered in a couple of these SEC games, and I can't remember the specific one that I'm thinking about. I know in the Texas game he was outstanding, but he got peppered, and I was like, no, this guy's the real deal. Now, I know he's super small, and I know that he doesn't have, like, this crazy arm, but I was betting on the kid because I really liked his demeanor. I thought he was extremely mature. He goes to a situation in Carolina, plays right away. He looked like he didn't belong in the NFL.
Yeah, no, he looked small. He looked unsure of himself. He was scudding balls to receivers. It looked awful. But the Panthers looked like an expansion franchise, too.
And the way sports works is that he got another opportunity after getting sat down. And I think sitting him down was probably the right thing to do. And but by the end of last year, I think we were all, A, rooting for him, and then B, like, maybe he's not bad.
Well, exactly. And with Young, he was one and done with Frank Reich. Frank Reich was one and done with the Carolina Panthers after, what was it? They traded like two first-round picks. They traded a bunch to come up and just go get Bryce Young. And then they move off the head coach and the GM and everything. And then they bring in Dave Canales. And Dave is like, I'm not married to this guy. Why should I be? I'm coming in here to do my thing. They pivot to Andy Dalton first week against the Raiders last year. And then he looks incredible. They beat the Raiders. And then they, you know, it's the Red Rifle. But again, like, it's a good point because that is a situation where maybe Bryce Young needed to get sat down. Maybe he did need to revitalize.
Do you think he's better? Okay, I don't know the answer to this. I'm asking, like, holistically.
It's a good retort.
Holistically. Is he better to have played through the punishment, or did that scar him and make him worse?
I think it was important for him to play it to, like, figure out the speed, because that's what they always talk about in the NFL. Once you figured out the speed and the game slows down for you, that's when you could actually become the player that you think you could be. I don't think he could have gotten to that point without having being benched last year.
The struggles is what you're getting.
Well, being benched. Like, he needed to be benched last year that is a situation where I will look at it and say, you know what? That was a success.
Okay.
Andy Dalton needed to come in because this guy's confidence was at an all-time low, and he needed to learn and just sit down and just take it all in.
So I think everyone's different.
It worked.
Yeah, and everyone's different, and every situation is so unique. Like, that's why, like, this year, like, I'm cautioning everyone, like, with this Arch Manning thing with Texas. Like, Texas is loaded. They spend a ton in NIL, and everyone's like, he's going to be the greatest player who ever lived. It's like, dude, sport's hard. It's a really hard sport.
Well, you hear what his grandpa said. If you don't know who Arch Manning, obviously grandson of Archie. He's the nephew of Peyton and Eli Manning. He's like the number one guy for a long time. Everyone's talking about this top prospect.
The hype is out of control.
Texas is ranked number one in college football in all the preseason rankings. And Arch Manning is basically going to be a rookie if we're doing that version.
No, he played two games. I watched him.
Exactly.
And they were against a bunch of nobodies.
So the pressure is real when it comes to him in living up to expectations. His grandfather, Archie Manning, who was, you know, he was synonymous with losing as a quarterback, but it wasn't his fault because he played for a horrible franchise at the time, the New Orleans Saints. Yeah. He even said this past summer, he's like, oh, he's coming back. Don't worry. He's playing another year of college football. And then Arch is like, what are you talking about? So, like, even his own grandfather is saying he might be taking his lumps this year, Joe.
Well, but and he's on a loaded team.
Yes.
With huge expectations.
Yes.
There's actually a lot of Trey Lance comps to this. And I always think of, like, Shadur. Now, I don't know. You say the name Shadur Sanders, and people just get triggered. I actually think playing behind that bad offensive line at Colorado and being on a team that I think most weeks the last 2 years, they had less talent overall than the teams they were facing. Mm. Would you agree?
Yes.
I think they had less talent than the team.
Yeah.
I think that actually prepared him a little more for what the realities of the NFL were. Like, Iowa State for Brock Purdy. I think that prepared him. Now, everyone needs different things, you know? Like, so quarterback is just so unique, man.
It's so different.
It's just so unique.
Like, you try to compare Trey Lance with, like, Jonathan Kuminga. It's just not, it's not the same thing. Now, the expectations were championship for both of those squads, for the Warriors and for the 49ers, for sure.
Now, one thing I do think Arch Manning can take is that competing with Quinn Ewers for the last 2 years or whatever, year and a half at practice, I do think that's a good thing. Brady talks about him competing. Was it Hutchinson? Whoever the other guy was that came back, or Drew Henson. I forget. I always get him confused.
Henson. Yeah. For Michigan.
Yeah. Like, competing and going back and forth with him for the job made him understand how important practice was and all that. And I think that Joe Montana has referenced this, getting yo-yoed his junior year and being the comeback kid. And there's something about going through the crucible in this sport more than others that I do believe it makes you a stronger, tougher individual. I referenced Steve Young.
Yeah.
Steve Young was like, I knew to find the best version of myself, I needed to stay here and sit behind that guy.
I'm watching the America's Team doc right now on Netflix, and it's really good. It's the Cowboys chronicling once Jerry Jones bought the team. People can be rolling their eyes about it. I'm telling you, this the production level.
No, it's incredible.
Stories,
I'm intoxicated.
All the players they get from the Niners, from the Bills.
Kind of
from
a Niner love letter.
No, it kind of is. It's really a good case of point of ironing, sharpening iron when it comes to the Niners and the Cowboys and the rivalry that was. It was really freaking Carmen Policy's incredible in it. Steve Young, Jerry Rice.
Carmen.
I know.
Carmen should have his own doc.
It's great. No,
he's incredible.
It's incredible, the whole thing. And
they could not be more different, Carmen Policy and Jerry. Even though Carmen didn't own the team, Jerry Jones and Carmen could not be more different.
They can't be, but they also, like, give each other, like, the props when it comes to, because right now I'm on, like, the Fox, like, bringing the Fox to the NFL and all that and vice versa. It's incredible
stuff.
Now
you see why Summerall and Madden are so beloved by my age.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is the soundtrack to my NFL.
Totally. But they're talking about, you know, and Troy Aikman, obviously, getting drafted out of UCLA, taking his lumps early on there. And now he got to play through it. But again, 1-15.
He got the crap kicked out of him.
Oh, and some of the stuff, by the way, in this about concussions and Troy and the negligence with it and them not even having 2 weeks to prepare for a Super Bowl back then. It was just a week and not even remembering the NFC Championship game and then a week later playing in a Super Bowl.
Incredible.
When he said all week, I can't sleep, but you know what? It is. They even call it a symptom. He's like, I couldn't sleep, but you know that it just is what it is. Maybe it's just jitters. Like, no, dude, you're concussed all week long.
Joe,
like,
I'm not pretending I'm Troy Aikman. I got hit by a foul ball down the line warming up for a game and played in said game, tripped and fell over multiple times. This is in high school.
What they call it, your bell getting rung?
Yeah, no, my coach is like, suck it up. We didn't know. We just didn't know.
Jimmy Johnson, the first practice was
bell rung.
He literally told a player to get out of his practice and leave because of asthma. He said he's got. He said asthma, my ass. Get off the field, dude. You're getting canceled. You're getting canceled immediately. Can't do that today.
We used to not give water and stuff like that.
Times
were different.
Used to torture the young people. There you go. Speaking of torture, and I think Giants baseball has been torture for this man, is Brian in Palo Alto.
Hey, Brian.
Wants to join in the conversation. What's up, BPA?
Yo, what's going on? I think there are no developmental. There really are no developmental quarterbacks anymore, right? Like, you really can't afford it. And especially with like a top five, top 10 pick, that player's got it. If they're going to play him right away, he's going to have to be good or they'll move on. Look at Anthony Richardson, Trey Lance. And so the days of like Joe Montana or Tom Brady coming to the league and like sitting on the bench for a year with like no pressure, just learning, learning the game, speed of the game, playbook, all that stuff. I think it's over.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but why? Mm-hmm. Because I look at an Anthony Richardson and the Colts, no one expected that team to compete in that conference. You know what I'm saying, right? Though?
Because the pressure on the coaches to win is so intense that, that's part of the issue with when you're a super high draft pick as a quarterback, you're likely going to a bad team. You're likely going to a coach that is probably not going to have a ton of runway. And so you get thrown in as a rookie and you get, beat up and lose a bunch of games. The coach gets canned. The next coach comes in and now you're not his guy. Right. That's how it goes.
That's a good point. But Brian, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
In the Colts situation, mm-hmm. I want to ask you this though. If I just put Josh Allen on the Colts, do we all just think that all of a sudden they're a Super Bowl contender? I don't know the answer to that.
No problem. Josh Allen as a rookie or now?
Josh Allen now.
No, but they certainly would be a lot better than they are now.
Absolutely.
Even Josh Allen, like, what was he, 6 years ago? Something like that?
Totally different. 2018.
Came into the league, right, as like a pretty like raw kind of unproven guy. Like, I don't even know that would be a lot,
Yeah, it's a good point.
Acceptable today. And so, Trey played, 9 games in college during the pandemic where there were no fans in the crowd?
Yeah, it didn't count.
Like, it was just way too big a leap and a risk. And, you have no idea what that guy has in the bank when the bullets are live. And, it's just...
So, let me go through...
I think if Trey Lance, if they had made it... Okay, we're 5-6 years into Trey Lance's career and... Still, he's a third team, and still nobody thinks he's a starting caliber player, right? So
he just wasn't the right
sometimes
guy.
The guy just doesn't. Sometimes mm-hmm. the guy just doesn't have it.
I agree,
right? And I think in Trey's case, he's just never going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Just it's okay, move on, right?
No, that's a good point. I
thanks, Brian.
I do think though this era of quarterbacks that are coming out just is so different than Trey's era, and they're only years apart. Think about this: Jaden Daniels played at two schools for almost 5 years.
Yep.
Joe Burrow played at two different schools.
Yep.
Okay, now Joe Burrow was drafted before Trey Lance, but like you get where I'm going with this. Yep. All these guys are transferring. Ricky Pearsall played at two schools. All these guys get to play so much. Now, there's another argument where you listen to Greg Olsen, and he was talking about this at Miami, like being on scout team for a year and earning his spot on the team, there's something to be said for that and not just transferring out because you're not playing. Like, he makes some really good points on that. But I think at quarterback, specifically, having 4 years of starting is really important. Like Arch Manning, if Arch Manning was smart, he would come back no matter what happens this year and play another year. And that sounds insane. And I know that
that's what his grandpa said. Like that, Archie was like, yeah, he's going to be coming back next year for sure.
He should.
Yeah.
He should. He needs multiple years. He needs 30 something starts under his belt. Like, he just does. Jalen Hurts is an example of a guy, two different schools. Right. And didn't really get drafted to be a quarterback, had to sit for that. I think he played at the end of his rookie year a little, but like, a lot of these guys, they need that. Not humbling's not the right word, but you just need to go through that crucible of failure. And I do think that's a part of like overcoming.
No, I'm totally in agreement with you. And I think, and he brought up Josh Allen, and that's a perfect case study in this because I think we all kind of misremember Josh Allen. Yeah, he showed flashes his first 2 years, He also had like the lowest completion percentage by a long shot by any other starting quarterback with that many games.
What he did in terms of development is more the unicorn than it is whatever everyone thinks is the standard. Like, most people don't become significantly more dominant year after year after year and just add layers to their accuracy and their touch.
Sure, and I think this is what we're getting at too, is it's the patience with not the GM, not the coach, not the fan base. It's going back to ownership always. And in the NFL, if you have an impatient owner, they will force your hand and they will get involved. And with the Colts situation, and rest in peace, Jim Irsay, obviously he's no longer with us, a longtime Colts owner, and now it's bestowed upon his children. So I don't know what's going on there, but like, that was an impatient guy. And, you know, maybe they're paying for their sins when it comes to the handling of one Andrew Luck and having one of the greatest prospects and one of the greatest quarterbacks talents we've ever seen in the history of football, and refusing to put offensive linemen around him. I just think it's an interesting conversation when it comes to developing quarterbacks, because there is just no right formula that we've figured out yet. We like to think we could figure it out, but it's ever changing. And the Shedeur Sanders one is interesting too, because I do have sound here and I want to play it. We got Bonte joining us in about 10 minutes and we'll get his thoughts on this. Bonte Hill in studio, courtesy of River Islands. Did you hear what Eric Dickerson had to say this past week on, I don't know if it was with Dan Patrick or somewhere else, but Dan Patrick show, this is where we got the sound from, but it was Eric Dickerson, obviously Hall of Fame running back. You know, he's one of the greats of all time. He was talking about Shedeur Sanders and him sliding in the draft, and it was very eye-opening. Take a listen.
What I heard from someone that's in the NFL, that the NFL told others, don't draft him. Do not draft him. We're gonna make an example out of him. And this came from a very good source. And he said that, I won't say who, somebody called the Cleveland Browns and said, don't do that. Draft
really?
Him. Yep, draft him. Don't do that.
So, obviously, Shedeur Sanders was this polarizing figure. Everyone has something to say, whether it's about his dad, whether it's about him, flashing the Rolex, doing everything, right? You know, he's his father's son. It is what it is. Shedeur Sanders, but he was a fun watch in college. And for the longest time, whether it was Mel Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah, Todd McShay, all these draft gurus, they were all telling us, yeah, this guy's probably a first-round pick. And then, you know, as the draft process went on, it started going on and on. And then it was just, oh, maybe he could fall out of the first round. Okay. If you know what, you feel like he's not a first round talent, he's going to fall out. That's one thing. All right. That's a professional take. He's not a first round quarterback talent. He's not on the level of a Cam Ward. Okay. That's fine. But for him to fall the way he did, all the way down to the sixth round, it went from professional to personal very quickly. And I kind of think that's what Eric Dickerson was talking about there. Now, was it a collusion against him? That's what he heard. I don't know anything about that. But it was clear, Joe, that a guy that was viewed as a fringe first-round talent all year long, falling all the way to the sixth round, something was wrong. Something was off. Something just, it was very, my red flag went up. I think a lot of people's red flags went up and said, wow, okay, this is, you know, I'm rooting for this guy now, or they're telling me, you know, this guy's toxic or whatever. And however you feel about it, it was just very odd. When you heard Eric Dickerson say that, what did Joe Shasky think immediately?
I didn't know what to make of it. I do think it was just bizarre that he fell as far as he did, considering every year in
bizarre. Thank you. Yeah.
Everything we see in December is like, why is that guy playing quarterback? Like, great example, the Niners. I watched Carter Bradley in these two games. And it's like, there is something to be said for just taking a quarterback in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, no matter who is on your depth chart.
Yeah.
You took Dylan, like, and I like Dylan Gabriel probably more than most because he's small and he's a little lefty. I love lefty quarterbacks, but like, I didn't have Dylan Gabriel ahead of Shedeur Sanders by two rounds.
Third round?
Tyler Shuck?
No one had Jackson Dart being a first round pick.
Tyler Shuck is older than Brock Purdy, which is crazy.
Yes.
Right? Jackson Dart was actually, I actually like Jackson Dart. I've done, a lot of people don't. Like, whatever.
Well, no,
we'll
no,
see if it'll be good.
But no one was talking about him as a first round pick.
No, for the longest time. But I kind of like Jackson Dart. Sure. Like, so that one, I'm fine with it. Jalen Milroe. I like Jalen Milroe more than most. To me, Shedeur should have been drafted around Jalen Milroe. Wherever Milroe went, he should have went around that. And it was shocking to me. So what did I make of it? I don't think they sent out an email. They're never going to put anything in a print. I don't know about calling. And they're definitely not going to text it because they'll get screenshot. But no, I believe in those things. I believe that there's like a, don't sign that guy. Just don't do it.
There's like a memo around the league.
No, not a memo. You're not going to put something out there that's going to, you know, like be able to be on record.
It's like a gossip memo, if you will. It's like you get in a little.
If you and I are talking off record, that there's no record of it. You know what I mean? Off air, not on phone, whatever. We're just talking.
It's like there's a memo, but it's like the.
No, it's never going to be like, don't sign Colin Kaepernick.
The old spy movies where like you have to burn this after
reading it. Am I too conspiracy theory-ish?
No, listen. I said it. After the first round, it went from professional to personal. That's what I'm getting at here when it came to all the other NFL teams. Like, how...
You can't tell me that New Orleans fan base and Kellen Moore, like, they really think Tyler Shuck's going to be better than Sanders overall, period? Like, I have a hard time believing that.
Listen, I know.
That fan base would die to have Shuck Sanders.
I'm a little,
wouldn't they?
I have some bias, the silver and black, whatever, but... There was so many links to Tom Brady and Shedeur Sanders and Mark Davis talking with Shedeur.
Would be perfect for him.
Just not even drafting him?
I don't get it.
And having Aiden O'Connell be your backup? What? You can sell me on Geno Smith, who I actually think would have been a perfect mentor also for Shedeur Sanders.
That's a good point.
Like, that's a great guy to learn from behind, right? A guy that has a little flash and flair in his own right. Hell, you see Geno Smith flipping off fans in Seattle for their preseason game. Like, I just am still shocked by the whole thing, and I think we don't discuss it enough, and now it's going to be a story. It's going to be throughout the season, and we're talking about now it's one of the biggest national storylines, and we're talking about development. It's just the whole thing I find fascinating when we talk about, and it's, again, we're less than 2 weeks now for the start of the regular season. Things Spadoni loves about football. I too love me a quarterback controversy, because how could you not? And there's going to be a lot of them this year. And the Shedeur aspect is going to be one of those storylines I'm going to be following, just like everyone's going to be following all season long.
Joe, there's two positions in my estimation I draft every year. You want to know what they are?
What are they?
Running back and quarterback.
There you go.
And every single year.
How many Niner fans were telling, like, we're just thinking to themselves, hey, sixth round, why are we drafting Shedeur at that point? Like, why not?
When Mac Jones hurt his knee, the first thing I thought of was, this is why you can't have a Carter Bradley, like, and you can't do scholarships. No, I'm dead serious. Because, like, if any organization understands, those spots are so valuable, we can't just be giving them away.
I know that people are going to be like, you can't do that to Brock. You signed this contract, and then you're going to have the circus that is Shedeur Sanders.
No, that's a whole different aspect. That. I'm talking about drafting. Said, why do you think the Niners took O'Rourke? I don't even know how to pronounce it. The kid that they took.
Curtis Rourke?
Yeah. Like, and he's got an ACL injury, I believe. But like you always do it. The year that they took Brock Purdy, they had Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm glad the Niners do this. I'm just surprised more teams don't.
888-957-9570. We got Bonte joining us here.
The Shedeur thing is so bizarre.
It's very the
and
whole
then of
thing.
Course, like I, no one thinks that he's like, oh my God, he's the next Joe Burrow. He's the next, you know, Mahomes. He could play. I don't know where. But he could play. He's a backup at minimum. Like right now, he could back up somewhere.
You gave us the sound, and it's really interesting. And it's Tom Brady, as we're talking about quarterbacks and develop of said quarterbacks. And this is a guy, and you mentioned it, his linear, going through the draft and being laughed at. And we always see Tom Brady when it comes to the combine and the baggy shorts and the, you know, the uninspiring body that is, and then him getting his opportunity. Tom Brady is definitely, you know, the poster child for don't give up on a player, right?
Like, ever. Just,
you never know.
Ever.
Here is Tom Brady, the GOAT in many's estimation, talking about what it takes for quarterbacks to be great.
Who wants to win versus who's willing to do whatever it takes to win? Everyone wants to win, but what are the habits and the daily habits and the actionable things you need to do every day to put your team in a position to win? All of them can make tremendous plays. At some point, they need to take the next step and take, in my mind, more ownership of what they're doing in terms of the organizational level to do more things to empower more people, to get more people on that train or that bus with you to head in the direction you want to go. So I just don't think as a quarterback, you go and you punch the clock. I did my job. You know, I threw for 40 touchdowns. Why are we not winning?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing in the offseason to help your defense? What are you doing to push the personnel department to get people doing the right thing? Are you involved in game planning? I mean, I used to do game plans.
Sure.
I used to walk in there and say, these are the things we're doing. Okay, I used to do my own walkthroughs. I used to, all right, guys, I don't coaches want to come. We're doing our walkthrough.
Right.
We're going to come up with our own signals because this is what I need to be on the field to be successful.
I 100% agree with what he's saying. Now, you have to earn it, right? You have to, you know, years of putting in the work and like, for example, Brock Purdy wasn't going to come in after 1 year and all of a sudden, like, I got to own this. I got to be on the game. But I do think over time, he should have his imprint on this, on the, like, hey, what do you like in a receiver, for example, down the line? Like, what are the traits that you're looking at? Because that's what we need to get you. What do you want in terms of the install this week versus this Green Bay front that you're going to face? Like, that is absolutely spot on. If you don't think the Warriors are doing that with Steph Curry, you're tripping, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that with quarterback, it's absolutely the way you do it. I love Brady saying it out loud.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.